Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I am a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And you know what? I think I might need to add to my title. I think I might need to be stand-up comedian, author, and host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me is my lovely wife, my CFO, my co-podcaster, partial author, cover model, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Artist, teacher, so good at so many things, and I resent her for it. I don't, I cherish it, I value it, I praise you for it. I also have intense jealousy of you because I am good at one thing, and even that is pretty debatable. At least I have my off night. So anyways, welcome to our little podcast that could, everybody, Backseaters. We're so happy to have you. We have a jam-packed episode for you today. Mm-hmm. We have Weekend Recap, as always, which includes a little Memorial Day and even a little cameo, not on the podcast. We'll never let Steven on here again. Steven, if you edit your own voice into it right after I say you can't,
I promise I won't.
I will publicly scorn you.
Oh, okay. No, I definitely won't then.
For our dozens of listeners. That's not true. The podcast is growing and people are listening. And that's because you guys, Backseaters, you are fantastic. You're leaving reviews. You are sharing with friends. You're sharing on various social media outlets. Oh, this we appreciate you guys so much. So we're going to do Weekend Recap. We've got a Top Gun Bingo Dingo to discuss at the end. Spoiler alert, Melissa will probably give it a near perfect as she has every movie
we've ever discussed.
We certainly have a book stuff to talk about. We have dads and grads. We have the quest for the perfect Father's Day gift that we're trying to figure out. We are in it. In it, everybody. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We really appreciate you. Before we get started, a couple things. One, the seasonal headline tour, we're about to kick off.
That's
I just
right.
thought, you know what? Writing a book is not enough in life. it's not enough to be busy with the promotion of a book. Why not also be promoting some upcoming comedy shows? So those are all on sale right now at dustinnickerson.com/shows. We have DC is the first one on the 10th and the 11th, San Diego the 1st and 2nd, Chicago the 6th and 7th, Rosemont the 8th and 9th. This is July. We're to July now. July 13th, San Francisco the 14th through 16th, Huntsville, Alabama the 23rd, Nashville the 29th and 30th, Appleton, Wisconsin the 31st, Phoenix. August 11th, Sacramento, 13th, Bakersfield, 14th, Oxnard, Irvine is the 17th, Seattle is the 27th, Spokane is the 28th, Raleigh is the 31st. Then we go into September, Charlotte the 1st, Indy the 2nd and 3rd, Kansas City the 4th, Salt Lake City the 9th and 10th. I think that might be a special one, by the way. I don't know yet. It might have been a key word in there. Atlanta the 16th, Minneapolis the 17th. We are adding a second show to that one. Thank you, Minneapolis. Portland the 18th. We're in September now. The 25th is Louisville. The 29th is Houston. The 30th and 30th in October. 1st is Austin. And the 29th of October is Philly. And
oh, wait, 19th.
You get it. 10-19 is Philly. 10-28 and 29 are St. Louis. There you go. That's why Melissa looks at this with me. So also, we have a book coming out called Don't Make Me.
We could have named it that.
That'll probably be the name of the parenting book. Let's be honest, right? I know other podcasters, Annie F. and Downs, as she's known on this, her biggest, you know, book was just like, hey, I'm just going to name my pod.
That sounds fun.
I mean, that seems like what we would probably name the book one, right? Or the parenting book one.
That's a usual route that a lot of podcasters take.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They're like, we know what this is. So we have a book coming out. This is coming out on Wednesday the something, and the book comes out on Tuesday, June 7th, which is so close.
June 1st, and the book comes out in less than a week.
So soon. Please pre-order the book, Backseaters.
You can get it on the 6th on Amazon. Some people are getting it a day early.
How about that?
Christian Book Warehouse already delivered them.
What?
Yeah.
People have books already?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But if you do pre-order, you're going to get to be a part of our Zoom, our launch day Zoom hang. It's a day off.
It's June 8th.
Doing it June 8th.
Yeah.
Yep.
We got stuff going on that day that we'll tell you guys about next week.
Yeah. So it's on the 8th. I think it's going to be at 5:30 Pacific.
Great.
Yep.
And submit your questions and stuff for that. Melissa will tell you.
It's going to be fun. I'm going to start.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. that sounds fun. You're going to get text and email reminders about that from us.
Uh-huh.
And you can also get Mel's study guide.
Oh, my gosh.
Those go away on launch day, uh-huh. June 7th.
Oh, no.
I know, for your book club.
Yeah, you're going to have to go Xerox them.
You're going to have to bootleg them
mm-hmm.
from your friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how people...
Xerox?
Xerox, yeah. That's you're going to have to use your works printer. Someone's going to have to...
First, you got to find a scanner.
First, you got to find a scanner, which is hard to do these days. We are very excited about this book. It's called How to Be Married to Melissa. When I was on Adam Carolla's show last week, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit. Or did we talk about that?
No,
already?
We didn't. You're on there Thursday.
He called it How to Be Married. And I was like, sure. You missed a pivotal part of that title. But I understand we are being kind of cute, kind of cheeky.
Script font.
Exactly. So I understand how that gets missed. Austin, you're Adam Carolla, you're a radio legend for decades now. You don't have to nail the book title. I'm not mad at you for that.
Yeah.
But it's called How to Be Married to Melissa. Backseaters, I know how many of you there are. I know that not all of you have bought this book. And I don't want to say that I'm I say this to my children a lot. And you're not my children, but I'm going to talk to you. I'm not disappointed in you. I am disappointed in this decision. I am disappointed in this particular thing that you did. Doesn't mean I'm disappointed in you as a person. I'm grateful for you. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm happy that you're a part of my life.
Okay.
The way you handled this, I'm disappointed in. And, you know, if you want to take that to heart, backseaters, you can. I've tried a lot with you guys.
A little, like, music in the background.
Yeah.
Like a sitcom dad.
Steven, can you throw that in there?
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't know if we pay him enough for that.
Yeah.
That's so anyways, if you guys could pre-order the book, the reason that it's important to pre-order the book is it tells places like Amazon and Nobles and Barnes, I got it wrong on purpose, or Borders.
You know, bookstores.
You remember Borders?
You remember those things?
Remember when bookstores were so popular that Barnes and Nobles had a competitor? Borders popped up there for a little bit.
Yep.
Was that where we went on our little dates together?
Yeah, that's where we always went.
We didn't go to Barnes and Noble. Mm-hmm. We went to Borders.
It was in that strip mall with the Old Navy.
Yeah.
I believe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I think like a Home Goods. Remember that store?
Yeah. Linens and Things.
That's an inside joke in the book. You're going to have to read about how my dad and Melissa's mom both say that word wrong. Store wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There was a TJ Maxx in there. Strip malls. You guys have seen them. You get it. There was a Starbucks in the parking lot part. Here's the thing. Let me tell you wherever you're at in the country right now. Wherever you are in the country right now.
You can picture this.
You think that you're so innovative. You think that you're so innovative with your little strip mall and then Starbucks in the parking lot. That was invented in the suburbs of Seattle. That's where that comes from. That was
really?
Like, oh, come on. Of course it was. It's where, because
yeah,
remember the epicenter started to go out. And even trashy towns like where I grew up. We had the Old Navy, Gap, Home Goods, TJ Maxx, David's Bridal, and then Starbucks in the parking lot. The only difference is ours had shootings. Federal Way, baby. Number one. Forever. Never mind. I'm not going to finish any more of that. Get it.
I just remember it was 24 hours.
Yeah.
That was a really big deal.
So the important reason to pre-order is that it tells these big old companies to be like, oh man, people are pretty interested in this book right here. I better get myself. We should print more. We should promote it more. We should highlight it. We should use our bots and our algorithms and our end caps. Maybe we'll get featured by remember when you go in, you're like, this is the employee's pick.
Ooh, an employee's
pick. An employee's pick would be really, really something. So anyways, mm-hmm. that comes out June 7th, everybody. Please go check that out. All right. So with that being said, let's get to weekend recap, Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
Different kind of weekend. Didn't get on a plane.
It's nice, especially over Memorial Day weekend.
So nice. So nice.
I guess there was like a ton of flights delayed.
So many. 3,000, I think, is what I saw. I think they were canceled, not delayed, too.
Yeah.
Hey, that's not fun. What a great time to have your finances tied to travel. So good. Great time to be alive. Never been never been cheaper to get to.
Maybe you should go on a 30-city tour.
I know. Taylor, please.
Flights have never been higher.
Taylor, please start touring again so you can pay for my flights. Please. Please, Taylor. Please. My sweet, sweet Taylor Tomlinson.
So Thursday.
You know what's funny is I said I was taking a bunch of time off. I was like, oh man, I'm not getting on a plane for a long time. And I was talking to Aaron Weber on the phone about that.
Yeah.
And he goes, so you go back out June 10th. I go, yes. He goes, so 2 weeks. I go, yeah, man. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Many trips to LA, but no flights.
It's a sabbatical.
It is.
It's a huge rest, man. I'm all caught up. I can't wait to get back on the road. I'm so tired of you guys. So tired of you guys. It was a different kind of week because we are in full book promo mode right now. Promo mode. Sorry, just fun to say like a robot. So I don't remember what I was doing last early week. I went to LA Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday last week.
Okay.
Correct?
I'll believe you. I know you went Thursday.
So I went on Wednesday.
Oh, you came back Wednesday.
Wednesday to go film a sketch with Kev on stage.
Yes.
And, you know, that'll be like a little promo type stuff, which is good. And then I did two podcasts up there because I was already up there. And we're like, hey, well, like I said, I did Dadville and I did Keith and the Girl. Keith and the Girl already came out. Dadville, I don't know when Dadville's coming out. That was super fun. Mm-hmm. And then I did the sketch and then I came home. And on Thursday, I went up just to do Adam Carolla, and I also had a little lunch with one Taylor Tomlinson, which was fun. Mm-hmm. And the Adam Carolla thing was crazy, because it's like, it's Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
I opened the podcast, we'll tell you guys a little bit of that. I opened the podcast saying this is like, I'm trying not to fanboy too hard here, but you know, I've been a mega fan for a long time, and he assumed the radio show. And I
Which
was
is
like,
how I knew him.
And I did tell him, I was like, listen, we listened to the radio show because he was like, where were you tuning in? I said, South Seattle, you know, 107.7 The End, KNDD, you know, I remember this very, and we were commuters at that time of our life.
Yeah.
And so you would go into work and I would go into work and we were in different cars, but we were usually listening to Adam Carolla
together. Yeah, sometimes we would go together and that's how I found him.
Right.
That was back before other forms of media, and you just listen to the radio.
And I knew him before that because he co-hosted Loveline with Dr. Drew, and that was on MTV when I was a kid. That was like, and they would have like a live studio audience, and people would call in. And I told him that, and I'd had this question for, how old am I? 37 for 20 years now. I'd been wondering, hey, when people would go and ask this question, and there would be this like thinly veiled thing. And they would go in and be like, so I've got worms. They would like tell some terrible thing, right? And that's what I told them. I was like 17. They're like, man, these young adults got real problems in their life, you know? And they would go say it to them. And I go, and it would be anonymous on TV. But wouldn't that guy just like walk out of the booth and be back in the studio with the room? Everyone knew it was him. And he's like, yeah, there were some problems with that system. I was like, I knew it. I knew it.
Because they were live. Yeah, they didn't call in.
No, they walked and stood in a line, like when you go to some speaker event and they do the line type style, like if you have any questions.
Like a podium.
Yeah, Deepak Chopra, whoever you're there to see. You have some questions, you go ask them. And this one, you just had to go share some terrible venereal disease that you had.
I think people, though, get so excited to talk in those scenarios.
Yeah.
They lose.
He said something interesting, too, that a lot of time they would, like, lie, and he could tell. They would, like, tell some ridiculous story, and then they would ask one follow-up question, and then it would all fall apart.
their act.
Which is very funny. It's just funny to hear that from that perspective. And I know that...
it's so funny.
It's, you know, it's really interesting when you're, like, we're in this as a business, and we're also, like, in the entertainment space. And so Adam Carolla during the pandemic did kind of take a different tone to him, or like people responded to him, similar to like Jim Brewer and stuff like that. But you know, people got weird during the pandemic, and they just, some people got super political. Some people didn't talk at all. A lot of people disappeared.
They're gone. Like,
yeah. I said that to Taylor, that I named a comedian And she was like, oh my gosh, I forgot all about that person. I was like, I know if you didn't see them for a couple years. But so all that to say, you know, controversy aside, you know, it was just crazy because you're like, man, I've been a fan of this guy's work for decades.
Surreal.
And yeah. It was fun. And he was very nice. And it was, I think that this is somewhat public information. I don't know how these things are. Backseaters, you get to hear it all. And I was reading the comments because I have a problem. Because I need
the YouTube
comments on the video because I have a crushing need to be liked. Mm-hmm. And a fear of not being liked, but also I have to know that they do or don't like me. Which is great. It's very healthy.
Yeah.
And and they were
what
all
could feed that other than internet comments.
I know. And you know how people are always likely to leave positive reviews, not negatives?
Absolutely.
False.
Absolutely.
The internet is such a mean place.
So you were gonna say something.
They were all being negative and they're like, this guy's an idiot. If this guy's supposed to be a comedian, mm-hmm. if this guy's a comedian, I'm Dave Chappelle, all the normal internet troll things.
Yeah.
As I'm getting that, the producer texts and it's like, Adam loved you, we'd love to have you on every couple months. Bingo. Love it so much.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for watching.
So take that, Adam Carolla trolls. He liked me. Or his producer is very professional and knows how to lay me off easy. So,
and then you sent me a video of the studio.
It's unreal.
Cool.
It's decades of TV and radio and
you know
podcast
what you told
money.
Me, which I thought was crazy interesting, was he had the room of fact checkers. Like a pit crew.
Look that up. It was very much like a pit crew, which is very odd. There was like three or four of them. They're like, pull that up. He's bringing that up. Pull up that information. Pull up that video.
Amazing.
And meanwhile, we are looking at the camera that's recording here in the corner of our bedroom. And this is our studio. I did have a friend recently like, hey, I'm in San Diego. Could we record in your studio? And I was like, you're adorable. If you think this is a studio, no, don't get me wrong. We have made this look like one, a thing, but we are in the corner of my bedroom. So our bedroom.
That's right. It was really cool that you got to do that.
Super fun. Friday, I have the rare Friday off. And we decided to go see Top Gun, which we're going to talk about a little bit. We'll do spoiler free here.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, Goose dies. That's actually Top Gun 1, and that's a joke that Brian Bates, the very funny Brian Bates, made on Twitter today. So,
nice.
I'm giving him credit for that one. Good job, Brian. So we decided, you guys go to the drive-in a lot. I very rarely do.
Mm-hmm.
But Top Gun, I was like, this is a perfect movie to go see at the drive-in because A, it's going to feel like 80s nostalgia anyways.
Yep.
And that's how you saw movies. Well, you could see movies. You were more likely to see a movie that way in the 80s than you would be now. And my kids had no attachment to the movie Top Gun. They've never seen the original Top Gun.
No, they haven't.
You and I have seen it once, probably.
Yeah.
And your dad's a fighter pilot, so he hated it. And
Air Force
fighter pilot. And I've always thought that was like just such a, you know, classic, ridiculous, cheesy, 80s movie. And it wasn't particularly good, but it was fun. And that's what
then like the volleyball scene.
Yeah.
You know, that everybody just loved to hate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's such an over-the-top movie.
In the bar.
But I think I found it almost more endearing, this one, because it knew what it was. It is nostalgia. It is just like, you know, hell yeah. Like, look at that plane. Look at that plane going all fast. Look at that jet flying in between a couple jets. Hell yeah.
What was it? The 10? They're going to get 10...
Mach 10. We get Mach 10.
They kept saying Mach. And
don't Mach go 10. Past Mach 10.
And I was
hell yeah.
I was thinking about the shaving company that has like the Mach.
Yes.
8
yes.
Razor
Mach 10 is my razor of choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, that's too much. I would only do Mach 8 on my jet or my razor.
Not I was gonna say MacGyver.
Mach 10. Who the hell
Maverick.
Is that thing? Is
Maverick?
You got orders, Maverick. I mean, it's
there's
you know.
No way they let a pilot continue to fly in their 60s. That's called retirement.
Yeah, that's going to be. The other thing that you said today.
He was
this
still
is
a
so
captain
funny.
Or something?
No, you said he was a captain. You said there's no way. What was it you said earlier? This is.
Yeah. So I said.
This is coming from an Air Force brat who didn't.
Oh, I remember the title. Yeah, I said, there's no way a commander is that skinny. Because the commander probably had like a 30-inch waist.
That's the funny thing about, so I had a video do pretty well actually about this, the joke that I did about how, you know, the most unbelievable part of Top Gun is that there's a scene where a white guy goes into a bar in San Diego and doesn't order an IPA. That's yeah. we're being funny. These mm-hmm. it's a social mm-hmm. contract of ha-has. And yours is that the commander was skinny. You're like, yeah. I have seen officers.
And tan. Yeah. Yeah.
Commanders do not look like John Hamm.
No.
Is
no.
what you're saying.
So they're all, you know, a lot of really good looking pilots.
Yeah.
And crew. And they had to call back to the first movie. But like they did it in like kind of a teasing, but also serious. They did They walked that line well.
Yeah.
As far as like a reboot or a sequel goes.
Yeah. Wasn't bad in that sense. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like just over the top. Like, here's your guy. You remember this. You remember this. You remember this. I can do this all day. You remember this. You can, you know, which I can do this all day. I'm on board for, but I don't need to hear that line any more times. So, okay. With that being said, hit us with your bingo dingo. How many bingo dingos?
You know me, I'm a little high on
the yeah, it's great.
On the rating scale. I'll give it 4 out of 5.
Four yeah. out of five.
Because you could turn that movie on anytime.
Yeah, yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
It's safe. It's
I would give the
easy.
Original a 3 out of 5. I would give this a 4 out of 5. I think it's a much better movie than
I
the original.
I think it is too.
It's way better.
I
yeah.
think it's better.
The action's yeah. great. It's fun. That's I this was my review, one sentence review of it would be something doesn't have to be good for it to be fun. It's not mm-hmm. a good movie. It's not a quality film. You're
no.
not like
no.
ripped apart in the drama.
Nobody's crying.
No, 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 yeah. no, 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 no. But there's not great character development.
There's not even a bad guy. They don't even make a villain or
yeah.
a country. Any of that.
That's a really interesting. Well, like, that's intentional,
this,
right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. But they're like, there's this box you have to shoot down.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
And yeah. You're like, okay.
Yeah, it's a nameless, faceless enemy. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
There is no clear antagonist. You're right. Because if the thing with movies like that, those military type movies like that one, the Top Guns is like the commander's kind of the bad guy, the
yeah,
guy in charge.
There's a riff there.
But they have some valid points. Because mm-hmm. he keeps costing the military billions of dollars and whatnot.
Yeah. So it's fun.
That's the most agreed we've ever been on a bingo dingo. A 4 out of 5. We hit the same there.
Speaking of throwbacks.
Throwbacks.
I attended a New Kids on the Block concert.
Oh, yeah.
on Thursday night.
I totally forgot about that. That's a lifetime ago.
It was. So I planned this with some friends like a couple months ago. And then you got Adam Carolla,
mm-hmm.
and then we got a flat tire,
mm-hmm.
and you had to leave for LA,
mm-hmm.
and I had to handle it, and I was like, no one is taking this night away from me.
No one will stop me.
And then-
I will prevail.
I drove off so happy to go to the concert, and I forgot my purse. I had to turn around and come back.
Hilarious.
Once
Very
I got
funny.
To my friend's house.
Yeah, I think that-
I needed some Advil.
Our friend- recapped what you said at dinner was everything was working against me today. Meaning
like that.
Your husband had to work and you got a flat tire. Which well, I would say as far as bad days
got
go.
A flat tire.
Yeah, but you had to deal with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but then
timing wise, unfortunately, you had to deal with it.
So the reason I chose that concert was because I was like, you're in town.
Yeah.
You're in town that weekend.
Yeah.
It's a Thursday
and
night.
And you knew I wasn't gonna
close
leave.
By. You're not gonna fly out, but then you did go to LA. So but I felt
but I was,
so much better when you texted me that you were home.
Right, 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 right.
Because
right.
I felt like, okay, now I can do this and not worry about mm-hmm. the kids.
Hit me a bingo dingo on
Here's
the
another.
New Kids on the Block concert because it wasn't just, it was the New Kids
this
on the Block
mixtape.
New Kids on the Block.
Tour.
Salt and Peppa. Salt and Peppa's here.
Yes. And then.
In Vogue
was there. Oh, and then.
Rick Astley.
I don't know.
Never
how to
gonna
say
give
it.
You up.
So
that
was
Did they Rickroll you? Did they make a joke out of it?
No, but I sent the video to Joel, yeah. Which was...
The Foo Fighters were doing that for a little bit where they would literally use him as like the punchline. Oh, yeah. Let me see this.
So
this
It was... Okay, so...
Oh, he was on the poster. You knew he was going to be there. Okay.
Yeah. And he didn't sing that song first. He sung it like third. So the reason it was a good concert is because they had them all come out constantly.
Like, yeah, it was a true mixtape.
Opened. Yeah. And... Then the other artists came out.
Wait a minute.
They sung together.
So there was no transition in between bands, like where they have to tear one thing down and say, oh, what a dream. Because that's the worst part of the show.
Boy bands, you didn't see one instrument.
Oh, that's hilarious. I've never gone to a concert like that. So in my mind, I was like, oh, five bands. You got to do anything.
No, it's just microphones.
And they refused to share drums and, you know,
And so many rhinestones.
That's me testing the drums.
Yeah. So there's no mic checks.
So many rhinestones.
Mic checks, yes, but no equipment or transitions. They just sometimes they'd be in the middle and they'd come up the sides. And
right.
It was definitely like a variety show. It was not. And I don't like go to a lot of boy bands.
How long was the show? Pretty long? Two and a half hours?
Yeah. It was so long.
Did you get bored?
Yes.
Because you don't know a lot of those songs.
New Kids on the Block. Yeah. I didn't grow up listening to New Kids on the Block.
No, we were in sync Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, I just went for friends and for fun. But when New Kids on the Block started playing their slow songs in a row, we just like sat down and swayed.
Right.
Because a couple of the women in the group, it was their first concert as kids. So that was pretty fun for them, but not for me.
What was your first concert as a kid?
Like a Christian concert.
Yeah, but like a real concert. What was like a real concert? Or no, was that like a live, like Amy Grant or something?
Matchbox 20.
Oh, yeah.
But no, it would have been like Rebecca St. James.
3 a.m. I must be lonely. They're coming here. I saw them.
That makes sense.
With
the Wallflowers?
With the Wallflowers, who we've also seen.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It
is. You guys, this is the only platform where you get to hear me sing, and I really get into it because that's how I sing
around the house.
I added a little of his dad there because Jacob Dylan Wright, his dad, is Bob.
He had a little there. Yeah.
You and I have been we have really reached that age right now where. If you see a band that you've liked for a long time come into town, you got to kind of look, you got to, do I want to? Or do I want to have a more positive memory of this band?
Save the memory.
Save tonight. Fight the break of dawn. I'm sorry. I'm out of control right now. Because I won't name this band because, I don't want to.
I think we already talked about them. But
did
that's
we?
Okay. Yeah.
Did we?
Yes, we did.
When?
Well,
after
on the
we
podcast.
Did. Okay. Yeah. Well,
but you don't need to name him now.
I don't need to name him now.
You gotta go back and listen to the episodes.
Yeah. We'll call them Enumerating Iliads. An Iliad's not. It was the Counting Crows. I couldn't think of a bird that started with an I. Do you know a bird that starts with an I?
No.
Yeah. You're such a bird lover, too.
Egret.
Egret. We went and saw.
I think that's an E.
We went and saw Enumerating Egrets, and we've liked that band for a long time.
Sure.
And we've seen them a couple times. Mm-hmm. And they were, I mean, they might as well be working for the United States Postal Office. They were mailing it in.
Oh, yeah.
Holy smokes. If that guy had to play Omaha one more time, I felt like we sung more of the show than he did.
We sang louder than him.
Yeah. And we were all having fun, but you were just like, you know, so this happened recently. I saw Collective Soul is coming with Switchfoot, I think. And I was like, Collective Soul? I love Collective Soul. And then I looked at their picture and I'm like, no, I don't. Don't go. Just remember liking Collective Soul.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to see it. You want to see a band. They don't have to be in their prime, but you want them still making new music. You want them still into it a little bit, right?
Yeah, you do.
But you got New Kids in the Block. 40 years after their prime, 30 years.
Oh,
that wasn't
gosh.
Even your. That
They're
the funny
so part.
Yeah, that's the. And you said, but you said Salt-N-Pepa stole the show.
Oh, yeah. Their songs are so much catchier.
Way catchier.
And, like, dancey. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're so much better. Yeah. It was fun.
So, Bingo Dingo review of the
mixtape tour. Okay, so it's for basic moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. The blonde in the jean jacket. That was.
Right, right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if you're in that demo, you're going to go have fun with your girlfriends, and it's going to be 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Understood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a good start to a Memorial Day weekend. We also had a great end to a Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, we pushed off every responsibility we had. You know,
well, we don't have home weekends.
No, and I was in LA Saturday doing spots and stuff. Yeah. And so we were
working, but
I was at the Comedy Store. Saturday was fun. I was at the Comedy Store with Taylor, and then we did a spot at Flappers, and she had done the improv before that. It was just fun to be little Los Angeles comedians who did open mics together 10 years ago, and we're like, mm-hmm. we're really doing it. We're out here. Yep. And I was riding with her, so we get to park in the good parking spots that the past acts get to be there. And I'm just like happy to roll along.
Yeah.
But Sunday we did, here's the thing. We had homework. We had to fix a trampoline. We wanted to exercise. We had to clean up the girls' room. We had we are a lice-free home right now, which means we got to take a bunch of stuff out of garbage bags that had been there for a long time and just mm-hmm. load up. And it was just a lot going on yesterday. And then at 2 o'clock or so, producer Stephen English said, "We're having the pool party at my parents' house. Would you like to come?" And then he said, "I was supposed to invite you much earlier." And I was like, "Yeah, this seems like a late invite. This seems like you're at the party and no one has come. And you're like, hey, we need some people here. We have too much Korean barbecue or whatever."
We said, no, we didn't do any of the stuff we had to do all weekend. We have to do it now.
Yeah.
And then we said, oh, let's rush and do it and then we can go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And it was so fun. He said he got very distracted by a multitude of things that if, Stephen, you want to insert your own voice in here and say why you forgot to invite me, what may have caused you to be a little on the forgetful side, you can insert that yourself.
No, I'm good.
And if not, everyone can read between the lines here. But he did. We did eventually get the invite. So fun. What I wanted to talk to you about mm-hmm. on this was, it was a beautiful Memorial Day. It was the lovely California, nice house, palm trees. This is as good of pool party house situation as you're ever going to find. The nicest mm-hmm. people in the whole world.
Absolutely.
And Steven. Hey, we're working here. And when you show up to a pool, you said something yesterday where you said, as a parent, what is the biggest party foul you can do at a pool party?
Not watch your kids.
Not watch your kids in the pool. This is the single biggest parent pool party foul.
Oh, yeah.
PPPF, parent pool mm-hmm. party foul, is to not watch your kids. You have to watch your kids when they are in the pool. Even if they can swim, watch your kids.
Yeah, this is a PSA. And here's the thing. It's great because they have the fence,
Fence is nice.
Come a long way to add a fence around a pool in society. So like the littles, you know, toddlers and such.
They were safe. Mm-hmm. The non-swimmers.
Yeah. But if you're the host or, you know, like you're going to just enjoy the party so much more if one of the parents is in the pool or like has their feet in the pool.
Yes, yes.
Like because they're your children. And they're swimming.
Yes. And you are the parent of why that is a party foul. Because if there is a kid in the pool not being supervised, you are supervising that kid.
Yeah.
Even if that kid doesn't need supervised, there's always a Mel at the party who's like, hey, that kid can't swim quite strong enough.
I know.
that kid needs some floaties. That kid keeps pushing other kids under. Trying to throw the dog in the pool.
We can sense when our kids are getting like hyper and wild.
Yes.
And you're like, you're about to like crack something.
I actually think that is our that's the parent Spidey sense that you have when you're like, you guys are right on the tipping point here,
the edge
of insanity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the sugar. It's just life. It's just adrenaline. Well, it's puberty. It's youth. It's all of the things. You are about to explode like a volcano.
And there's nothing more fun than pushing someone in a pool.
It's the most fun. But when you're pushing your sibling from the waterfall thing down into the pool at somebody else's house.
Yes.
Not ideal.
Right. And then like you're all holding hands.
Yeah.
Someone,
you know what's funny?
The littlest is not going to make it.
You know what's funny is we think this way because we have wild kids at the pool. That's what this is. I'm projecting that somebody else is doing something wrong here. I have three wild children at pools. My kids are nuts at pools.
We all know why.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I've mellowed. I didn't do
1,000%.
I didn't do a back. I didn't even jump off the thing yesterday.
The grotto.
I didn't. Probably first time ever.
I think so.
Because my back hurts. And I was like, I might throw my back out mid backflip.
It's not worth it.
For what? What am I getting out of this?
A little underwater applause.
I did think about that. I did think about like, what if it tweaked in the middle of
mid-air.
The flip?
Yeah. You get stuck.
And you couldn't swim. They're like, no. I'm sorry. Someone watch Dustin in the pool, please.
Since I got my eyes on the pool, I'm going to save you.
Oh, my gosh. I've had so many embarrassing moments where you've had to come to my side anyways. Like, hey, you're actively bleeding from your head because you went too hard at the playground playing hide and seek or tag or whatever. I don't know. The details on that day are literally blurry.
Well, and then like when you would swallow not pool water, but ocean water and get dizzy off boats.
You're talking about the honeymoon.
Good snorkeling. Times. Yeah.
Barracuda. There's a barracuda down there. There's a barracuda. Okay. Let's do some emails, everybody. This is from Jessica. Subject, episode 197, basements.
Ooh.
Hello.
Hi, Jessica.
I think Melissa definitely has a point, and basements are regional. I lived in Southwest Oklahoma / Eastern Texas. This is your for 7 years, multiple houses, and none of them had a basement. One was even a two-story and still didn't have a basement. I live in Northern Kentucky now, 10 minutes outside of Cincinnati, and all those houses had basements. Most are bi-levels, but the ones that aren't still have basements. Also saw you in Cincinnati with Taylor, and I loved you both. She was attacked by lint on stage. I remember that. I love your podcast. Can't wait for you to come back to Cincinnati. Thank you, Jess. Thanks, Jess.
Thank you, Jess.
That's a nice email.
I am going to Cincinnati in August.
Yeah.
For canoeing.
Yes, and it
Nationals.
Is so expensive. So
all the money.
Expensive. All the money. Yeah, thanks for being a listener there. And I think that we have concluded that you guys are right, or Melissa was right. Melissa is 100% right.
If only we had our fact checkers in the other room.
I know. Yeah. If only we're. Oh, that reminds me. Every once in a while, your child will say something that is so profound that you just have to take a beat.
Okay.
As I've told the audience here before, as I've said many times before, teenagers have two modes, lethargic and cantankerous. They are lazy and argumentative. That's how I was. That's how they all are. All right?
Sure.
The other day, Joel was arguing back to me, and I said, Joel, just stop arguing with me. Just stop fighting. Just stop talking back. And he took a moment. He goes, I know, it's just so hard to be wrong sometimes.
Aww.
And I almost cried. I was like, that is a poem, Little Robert Frost.
It's true.
That is so insightful. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely, I have a book coming out next Tuesday and I've never said anything even halfway that communicate or like that accurate about the state of the human core. It is so, so hard to be wrong. That's why we fight. That's why we argue online. That's why people don't go back on their stuff. That's why all kinds of strife happens. It's probably where wars happen. It is so hard to be wrong. And you know who the hardest for it is to be wrong? Her. It's Melissa. It's me. It's both of us.
It's both of us.
Yeah, I just had to take that moment in. You're exactly right. You're exactly right, Joel. And you are still in trouble. You are 100% right. That is so beautiful. That is so insightful. Thank you for sharing. Please still give me your phone for the next week. The whole reason that we give you a phone is so we can take it away for punishment. Nothing? That's when you're supposed to punch it up, Melissa. All right, subject. It's all good.
Okay.
This is from Grant. Hey there, relatively new backseater from Texas here and loving the pod. I cried laughing at your silent theater fight in New York because I've been in the same situation with my wife many times. I'm always amazed when I find myself apologizing to my wife, who is seething angry because I wasn't able to read her mind and do the things she wanted me to do but didn't tell me about. The fact that I would have absolutely zero way of knowing any of the things in her brain that she wanted to do, wanted me to do because she didn't communicate them to me matters not one bit. I shared that section of the pod with her, and she said, yes, you should just know. Gotta love her. Looking forward to the book and potential other similarities between our marriages. Listening to the 200th episode this morning, congratulations, I gave it 5 bingo dingos, laughing at the it's all good. Has Melissa been watching Better Call Saul? No, she has not. So,
nope.
The wonderful thing about being a Texan is that we have pride in our country/state, and we love it more than anyone else could. So if someone doesn't love Texas as much as a Texan, that's just to be expected. Since as Lyle Lovett sings, that's right, you're not from Texas. That said, I was born and raised here, and I've lived now in every major Texas city aside from the West Texas cities, including Austin for three years. So I can say with some authority that I agree with you, Dustin. Austin is fine, just fine. Thank you.
All right.
We got more. Grant is feeling wordy today, and I like it. It doesn't know what kind of city it really is, which is why Keep Austin Weird describes it pretty well. The hill country is beautiful. The weather is mostly great. There's a lot of live music, and it's our state capital and a tech hub. So you get everything from granola paddle bars to hippies, artsy folks, tech bros, college students, political types, and lots of tourists. The city government is pretty awful. Traffic is terrible, and too many people keep moving there, just like the rest of Texas. We kind of shot ourselves in the foot by telling people how great Texas is. Now my wife and I are having a very difficult time finding a house in the Dallas area we can afford that isn't going for 100 to 200K above asking and competing with all cash offers, and we definitely wouldn't have been able to afford a house in Austin, but it's all good. Thanks, Grant from Texas. P.S. Still hoping a Dallas date will get added. Me too. Can I tweet the Dallas Comedy Clubs and Cecily until they give you a date? Let me know. Yes, you could. Do the Addison Improv. Please do text them or tweet them. Gotta go there, Tim. Sirens.
Whoa.
There we go. It's all good. I need a picture of you doing the hang loose saying that, Melissa, on that a shirt. Okay, last one. Subject here is basements and science. This is from Kayla.
All right.
Hey, Dustin and Melissa. First of all, I just wanted to say that I love your podcast. It is honest, real, and funny. Exactly what we need in this world. Second, in a different life, I think Melissa and I could have been great friends. As an Air Force brat myself, I appreciate all the stories about moving, friends, different houses, etc. My family lived in Virginia, Ohio, and Colorado mainly, all of which are basement regions, by the way.
Yes.
I'm a middle school science teacher, so I'm going to try and explain the scientific reasons, okay, Kayla, for basements or a lack of basements. There are several characteristics that determine if an area can build houses with basements. Soil quality, too soft, too hard, etc. Mineral deposits, what the soil is made up of, water table levels, and weather. Weather is a big factor when you think of wind speeds, precipitation patterns, rain and snow. I know what precipitation is. That's the only word I've known so far. Amount of sunlight and temperature swings. Hopefully this explains basement regions, which 100% exist. Thanks again for the great podcast. All right, Kayla.
I love it.
Oh, Melissa just got scientific backing to her ideas.
I always like the diagrams in science books. The drawings, the illustrations. I was like, well, that's nice.
Tell me when you realized you were an artist. When you were sitting in science class going, oh, I like the shading here.
Mm-hmm.
This helps me understand this a little more clearly.
Absolutely.
Do you think the person that is doing art for science books got the art job they wanted in life?
Ooh. Hopefully they're doing some freelance stuff. That's, you know, not paying the bills. But yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Next week's episode, there'll be a brief intro and then a full chapter of the book.
The book.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye.
Hey, folks, want to give a special shout out to our Essential as Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up tier. That list is Avril Griffiths, Jessica Sewell, Rachel Kennedy, Code DeGrow, Dave Hoagland, Damarius Diaz Stevens, Nicole Carraz, Tiffany Payne, Farrah Journey, David and Melissa Cox, Isaac Taran, Lori Amos, Carrie Teague, The Forgotten Friend Reptile Sanctuary, Jordan Cowan, Courtney Ibling, Juliana Smith, Bonnie Galeando, and Jennifer Ashley Downs.
Thank you guys so much for what you give to the pod.